This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. You know, you ready to go deep on a topic that's been making a lot of noise lately?
Well, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
GLP-1 medications.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all over the news. They're being hailed as like a game changer, you know, for weight loss and diabetes.
Right.
And we had a whole stack of articles here.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we're going to really dig into like the ethics, you know, and the cost and the question of, you know, can everyone who could benefit from these medications actually get them?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, the science is amazing, but, you know, healthcare isn't always fair. So as we, you know, sort of delve into the potential of these medications, I think it's really important to keep in mind the cost, the systems, and who ultimately benefits.
It's almost like we're on this exciting new frontier in medicine, but the landscape is totally uncharted.
Exactly, and that's why we're here.
Okay, so I think we should just dive right in. What makes these GLP-1 drugs so revolutionary? I mean, one of the articles talks about a teacher named Sarah, who struggled with her weight for years, tried everything, you know, diets, exercise.
Yeah.
Nothing worked.
Right.
But then she starts taking this GLP-1 medication, and it's like, boom.
Yeah, it was a complete shift for her. I mean, she was finally in control of her health. Her energy levels were through the roof, and she was able to lose a significant amount of weight. It's a pretty powerful story. It really gives people hope.
So where's the but?
Right. Well, obviously, Sarah's story is incredible, but it's not necessarily the case for everyone. I mean, the reality is that these medications are expensive.
Okay.
We're talking $900 to $1,300 a month.
Whoa.
And that's without insurance.
So even if you really need this medication, you might not be able to afford it.
Exactly. And it really raises that question of the balance between, you know, groundbreaking science and affordability.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that makes you think about insurance coverage too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The articles really point to the fact that insurance coverage is inconsistent.
Oh, really?
For GLP-1s. I mean, they're often covered for diabetes, but not weight loss.
So wait, so even though obesity is linked to all these other health problems?
Yeah.
The insurance companies are basically saying weight loss isn't a real problem.
It definitely seems that way. And it really highlights this bigger issue of, you know, how we view healthcare and how we value certain conditions over others. It's like they're saying treating diabetes is essential, but managing obesity, well, that's optional.
It's like a double standard for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of tough choices, the articles mention a single mom, Jenna, who's also a nurse.
Right.
She wants to be healthy for her kids, obviously.
Yeah.
But she can't afford these medications.
Yeah, it's a terrible position to be in. She sees the potential of these medications, but the cost is just out of reach.
Wow, so it's just not fair. So are there any other options for people like Jenna who just can't afford the name brand GLP-1 medications?
I know the articles mentioned something about compounded drugs.
Right, compounded drugs, which are basically custom-made by pharmacies.
Okay.
And sometimes that can make them more affordable.
Okay, so what's the catch? Well, with compounded medications, there's always this concern about quality control.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Big pharmaceutical companies have tons of resources, strict regulations.
Yeah.
But compounding pharmacies are usually much smaller, and the regulations aren't as strict.
So you're talking about like a contamination risk?
Not necessarily contamination, but the bigger issue is consistency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, one article mentions Mark, who has diabetes.
Okay.
And was so excited about the lower cost of compounded GLP-1 drugs.
Okay.
But then he started hearing these horror stories about inconsistent batches.
What do you mean, like the dosage is off?
Yeah, or the ingredients aren't the same. You know, imagine taking a medication to control your blood sugar, but every month the dose is different.
Wow, that's so scary.
It can be incredibly dangerous.
So even though these compounded GLP-1 drugs might seem like a good solution for some people, there are some real concerns there.
Exactly. And it raises those questions of whether it's even ethical to choose affordability over, you know, the quality and consistency of the medication.
Yeah, it's kind of a moral gray area.
It is. And it's not just about the costs and the risks of compounded medications. There's another aspect of this whole conversation that we need to talk about: accessibility.
Okay, so what do you mean?
I mean, remember Sarah, the teacher who had success with the GLP-1 medications?
Yeah.
What if she lived in a rural area and there was no pharmacy nearby that carried them?
Yeah.
Or think about Jenna, who might not have transportation to get to a specialty pharmacy.
So you're saying that even if you can afford the medication and you're willing to take the risk with the compounded version,
yeah,
you still might not be able to get it.
Right. And there's a story about Juan, who lives in a rural area and can't find a pharmacy that even compounds GLP-1 drugs.
Oh, wow.
So it just adds another layer of barriers.
It's not just about cost. It's about resources and physical access.
Exactly. And this leads to another question. You know, what happens when people need to take these medications for years?
Oh, yeah. The long term.
Are they going to be able to afford it for that long?
That's such a good point. We've been talking about the initial cost, but what about the long-term financial burden?
Right. And it's not just the financial piece. There are also questions about the long-term effects of these medications themselves.
Oh, like we don't know yet how they might impact the body over a long period of time.
Exactly. We just don't have enough data yet.
So it's like asking people to kind of take a leap of faith.
To some extent, yes. And that's where informed consent comes in.
Informed consent.
Yeah.
I don't get how that ties into all of this.
Well, I mean, when you agree to any medical treatment, you should understand the risks and benefits.
Right.
But with GLP-1s, we still have so many unknowns.
So how can someone really give informed consent if we don't have all the answers yet?
It's a great question, and it gets to the heart of all the complexity around these medications.
Okay.
We have this amazing tool.
Yeah.
But there's still so much we don't know and we need to figure out.
Yeah, for sure. It's like we're on the edge of this, like, medical breakthrough, but there are all these ethical and practical challenges.
Absolutely. It's like we open this Pandora's box of medical innovation.
Exactly.
And now we have to deal with all the consequences.
Right. And speaking of ethical challenges, I want to circle back to the compounded medications.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the lower cost.
Right.
But also the concerns about quality control and those inconsistent batches.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah.
On one hand, you have people who desperately need a more affordable option.
Right. Like Jenna.
Exactly. But on the other hand, we have to think about the risks of using medications that aren't as rigorously tested or regulated.
So is it even ethical for doctors to prescribe these compounded GLP-1 medications when there's that level of uncertainty?
That's a huge debate right now.
Yeah.
There's no easy answer. It's this balancing act between access to treatment and patient safety.
And I imagine that creates a lot of tension for doctors who are trying to do the right thing for their patients.
Absolutely. It's a real dilemma, and it just highlights these bigger systemic issues in healthcare that force people into these difficult choices.
And these aren't just theoretical choices either. We're talking about real people like Mark, who was initially excited about the lower cost.
Right.
But then got nervous when he heard those stories about the inconsistent batches.
Mark's situation is a perfect example of why this issue is so complex.
Yeah.
It's not black and white.
Right.
There are shades of gray, and the risks and benefits have to be considered on an individual basis.
It sounds like we need more research and stricter regulations around these compounded medications.
I think so. We need to make sure that if people are choosing this route, they understand the potential risks and benefits.
Right.
And we have to make sure that the medications are produced to the highest possible standards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's say we could wave a magic wand and make compounded medications just as reliable as the brand name ones would that solve all the problems with GLP-1s.
I wish it were that simple.
Yeah.
But even if we could guarantee the quality, we'd still have to deal with the long-term use and accessibility issues.
Right. We talked about the unknowns surrounding the long-term effects. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Sure. So these medications are still relatively new.
Yeah.
They've been tested extensively for short periods.
Right.
But we just don't have the data yet on how they'll affect the body over decades.
So are we essentially asking people to be guinea pigs?
In a way, yes. And that's why informed consent is so critical.
Okay. But I'm still not clear on how informed consent really applies here.
Well, think about it. When you agree to any medical treatment, you have the right to know the potential risks and benefits.
Of course.
But with these medications, there are a lot of unknowns, especially for long-term use.
So how can you truly give informed consent if you don't have all the information?
Exactly. It's a real challenge.
Yeah.
We want to offer these potentially life-saving treatments.
Right.
But we also need to be upfront about the limits of our knowledge.
So how do you even have that conversation with patients?
It requires honesty and transparency from both the doctor and the patient.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the uncertainty.
Right.
But also emphasize the potential benefit.
And hopefully with more research, we'll have a clearer picture of those long-term effects.
I hope so.
But even if we resolve the quality control issues with the compounded medications, and we have more data on the long-term effects of GLP-1 drugs in general, there's still the issue of affordability and geographic availability.
Absolutely. And this brings us back to those systemic problems with healthcare.
Okay.
You know, we can have the most amazing medications,
right,
but if people can't access them or afford them,
yeah,
they're not really going to do much good.
So where do we go from here? Are we stuck with these ethical dilemmas and inequalities?
That's the question we should all be asking. But the good news is that there are some potential solutions out there.
Okay, so what are some of the ideas that are being proposed?
Well, one of the most common suggestions is expanding insurance coverage to include weight loss as a medical condition.
Right, because right now it seems like they're treating it more like a cosmetic issue.
Yeah, and that creates a huge barrier.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like if they did recognize weight loss as like a legitimate medical condition, wouldn't that actually benefit the healthcare system in the long run? I mean, if people can get treatment to manage their weight, that would prevent other more serious health problems later on, right?
Exactly. It's about, you know, being proactive rather than reactive.
Right.
It's about preventing problems before they become really serious and costly.
So expanding insurance coverage, that seems like a pretty crucial step. What other solutions are people talking about?
Well, there's been some discussion about more government involvement,
like
price regulation.
Oh, wow.
Where the government would basically set a cap on how much drug companies could charge.
I can see that being kind of controversial.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the pharmaceutical companies would probably push back pretty hard.
Yeah, they would.
But it's been done successfully in other countries for other essential medications.
So it's not like a radical idea.
Not really. It's just a matter of, you know, political will and public support.
Well, it's definitely something to think about. So are there any other approaches that could make these medications more accessible?
Well, one idea is to focus on increasing competition in the pharmaceutical market.
How did you do that?
By encouraging the development of generic versions of GLP-1 medications.
Because generics are usually way cheaper, right?
Exactly. And that could make a huge difference for people who are struggling to afford the brand name drugs.
That makes sense. But what about the quality control issues we were talking about with the compounded medications? Is there anything being done to address those?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a big push for stricter regulations and more oversight.
Okay, like more inspections and stuff.
Exactly. The goal is to make sure that compounded medications are held to the same standards as any other medication.
That makes me feel a little better. But even with all these potential solutions, you know, expanding insurance coverage, price regulation, more generics, stricter regulations for compounding, what about those people who still might fall through the cracks, you know, the folks in rural areas or who face other barriers?
Right. And that's where community health programs can play a huge role.
Okay.
You know, that they can provide education support resources to people struggling with obesity and diabetes.
So even if someone can't afford the medication or they don't have a pharmacy nearby, they can still get help.
Logically.
Through these programs.
These programs are really amazing. They offer things like nutrition counseling, fitness classes, support groups.
It's like a more holistic approach.
It is. It's about recognizing that health is about more than just medication.
Right. It's about lifestyle and support and community.
And it's about making sure that everyone has the opportunity to be healthy.
Well said. So that brings us to the end of our deep dive into GLP-1 medications. It's been quite a journey.
It really has.
We started out all excited about this potential breakthrough.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the bigger picture.
The ethical challenges, the systemic issues, the need for more research and better solutions.
Right. And ultimately, the goal is to make sure that everyone benefits from these advances in medicine.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
So as always, we like to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Yeah.
If you could wave your magic wand and create the perfect healthcare system for GLP-1 medications, what would that look like? How would you ensure that everyone who needs these medications could get them safely, affordably, and with dignity? Think about it.
It's a question worth pondering.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.